Amir, I'm so excited to have this part two with you where we take a deeper dive on your background, understand, you know, your entrepreneurial efforts, and really where you're going with everything. Are you ready to hop in on this podcast?
I sure am. Let's get it started.
Awesome. So you've had a very successful career. You know, you've worked at JP Morgan. You know, you've been an ambassador. You've worked in risk management. You've been a professor. And now you're the CEO of McCoy Consulting. Could you tell us a little bit about your background story and how everything came to be and how you are where you are today?
So it's been a journey, and I feel like I'm still at the beginning of it. But in general, I started off in really good companies. Really, majority of my career was at JP Morgan and the private bank. Learned a lot, worked my way up to vice president. Ran the vendor management team, and for a short time, the change management and MIS teams, along with the employee consulting team, which was something I made up, but definitely necessary. I thought it would be a great project. They were truly, utterly supportive of me going to school while I was working. I believe there were a few years that I had an alternate schedule, which was great as well, in order to get to class and out of class. I knew that eventually my degree would happen and it would be handed to me and I would need to utilize it. It used to just be a bad pet peeve for me when people would have degrees that had nothing to do with their jobs. So I was constantly looking for what my next steps would be, what my career would look like, and started to really take some leaps of faith towards the end of my financial career to really get to a point where I could utilize my industrial organizational PhD, which turned out that it was best that I did it in my own company because I knew exactly how to help people. And I knew that I didn't want to be tied to one project. I wanted multiple projects. I wanted to be able to bounce around. I wanted to be able to customize things. I wanted too much control. And in the process of wanting a lot of control, your entrepreneurial spirit starts to rise. And I created a company that really answers the call for a lot of things that I saw while working.
Absolutely. I love that so much. I just want to touch on the two pieces, kind of your financial career and then a little bit of your education. Why did you go into the financial world? Because I know that's a big push for many students in the business world today. And then kind of moving into your education, why did you decide to go with the industrial and organizational psychology degree?
Yeah, so the financial world, there is a lot of money to be made. I will say that, and this is part of my evolution too into McCoy Consulting, I hit a lot of brick walls when it came to moving my career, when it came to wanting to make a leap from operations to the front office. And most of it wasn't explained well. It didn't make a lot of sense. And I am far from one to put a label on why people are treating me one way or another. I just kind of go with the flow and, okay, where can I go? What can I do? I learned quickly that if you close your eyes and visualize a banker, 90% of people visualize a white man in a blue suit. And I knew that how I looked would always be a barrier to where I could go in the private bank at that, where you're dealing with multi-millionaires and several billionaires, if anything. The portfolios there did not represent what they thought a Black woman could handle. So I was halted for a period of time with moving to any position that I wanted to go to. And that also was the time that became a decisive point to focus on what I really wanted to do, which was to help businesses figure out how to open those doors. So I did my research on what a person does when they go into an organization and let people learn about diversity and inclusion, let people learn about change management. Like, who is that person? What's their label? I found an IO psychologist who had exactly the job that I thought I wanted at the time. She was traveling around the world. She literally did project to project, where she taught people how to engage with employees that did not look like them. How do you work with them? How do you have a team environment? What does that look like? How is everybody a part of the team? And really address culture, retention, promotion, sponsorship, mentorship. She addressed all the things that were of a concern to me. So I toured two schools, which was Adler and the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, fell in love with the IO program at the Chicago School and enrolled within a week of the tour and have been doing it ever since.
Wow, I love that so much. And to think that, you know, I think this is one of those examples right now of how we don't always see these opportunities in front of us until somebody's done it and said it. So thank you so much for kind of setting that precedent and giving a lot of people who's listening right now that transition and that realization that, hey, things that they believe in, are passionate about, restrictions they've faced, you know, barriers, can definitely be navigated around. So thank you so much for that. Now, I think this is a perfect transition point to talk a little bit more about McCoy Consulting LLC, you know, the entrepreneurship aspect of yourself and the business that you're building now. Can you talk to us and tell us a little bit about what that is, what your kind of overall goal is, and then I'd love to dive into each of those pieces a little deeper.
Yes, so those pieces are consulting, coaching, classes, and content. McCoy Consulting is really everything in together. I was doing a lot of things all over the place. You probably read in some of my bios prior to getting to consulting, I was writing books for people. And that's where the content piece came in. I would say the content piece came before anything else. I had been writing, getting co-writing credits on books for about 5 years before McCoy Consulting was launched. And I launched it out of the fact that I had finally got co-writing credit on something that was bringing me money. I was like, how do you file taxes on this money? I don't want to do anything wrong. I want to do everything right. And I launched my company, and I launched it with a dream of, I will add more services later. So I didn't launch it as a independent 1099 person. I literally said to myself, at some point, I will add more services and I will pay for what I need to pay for now so that later I'm not scrambling to open an LLC. And it worked out that way. I added services every year, to the point where we are now at these four categories of consulting, coaching, classes, and content.
I love that so much. And I wanted to pause right at that point where you're talking about running, not running to create an LLC. You know, why did you do that? So many entrepreneurs are, you know, they start their businesses, they haven't built their LLC mm-hmm. yet. They haven't done a lot of the formalities, for lack of better terms. You know, why was that important to you, and why, you know, would this be important to some other entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so I think that what did help was working at a financial company. I had saw how people that had a whole lot of money structured things into trust in LLCs. I was very much aware that their independent name may have actually no income, but you could find income in other places where, you know, if they were personally sued, they could basically say they had no money at all. I just thought it was a very strategic way to live life. But I learned that there are ways for you to protect yourself as an individual, protect your brand, and protect the things that you're associating with your brand. And I wanted to keep things separate because there is Amira McCoy, who is working at the time, I was working a day job. And then there is my actual company that is producing things that I might not even be present for. So I needed to keep it separate. I needed to make sure that I could see how much money I was making in both spaces so that I know when it was time to really put all of my energy into my company.
I love that. And then just kind of one last piece on that, you know, what were some of the pieces that you had to get done in that process to make sure you separated yourself?
Yeah, I went through obtaining a business license. I was first and foremost. A lot of individual or independent entrepreneurs do not think that they need a business license or that it's necessary because they're 1099. And it actually is very helpful to have because it opens other doors. It opens your company to financing. It opens your company to being acknowledged by the city or state that you're in, which also gives you more opportunities to get certified. And I wanted the certifications as well. I wanted to be a minority certified business. I wanted to be a women-owned certified business. And I needed a license to start with. So I started with my license. I completed the LLC documentation. I actually did everything on my own. And then I learned shortly after I did everything that I could have paid someone to do it. And probably had it done a lot faster, but I had nothing but time when I got home. So I just, you know, went through the process of filing the paperwork with the city, really learning what it meant to be in an LLC, what an annual filing was, why it's needed, how often you got to renew your license and things of that nature, because those ended up being things that I taught other clients who I had been working with, you know, with on their books on how to create an entity for their writing, how to, you know, separate the work and be able to file taxes on it and things of that nature. So I took the necessary steps. I will say that SCORE has really good documents online in regards to being able to go through the checklist for your business.
And the what was that one more time?
It's called SCORE, S-C-O-R-E. And I believe they're associated somehow with the SBA, but they offer free coaching. They offer business plans and the templates for business plans. They also offer business checklists. So if you're opening an LLC, you can just go straight down the checklist of the information that you would need.
Very cool. And I think that's just like one of those few resources right there that's going to be so helpful for some people, just to understand first and foremost, what am I getting myself into?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, that first part right there, just understanding what you're getting yourself into, but how beautiful it is and how successful it can help you be down the road is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I don't spend too much time focusing on like the development of your business and like when it comes to the LLC and the simple structuring aspects. I want to really talk about what you're trying to do. You know, I'd love to chat a little bit more about your coaching, your consulting. You know, you said that you started off in content and, you know, you saw a lot of value there. And next thing you knew, okay, let me structure this business. Now, how am I going to start adding different components to start to fit the puzzle pieces together, right? Could you tell us a little bit about how you went about that? You know, where did you see the needs or the opportunity? And how did you go about creating a go-to-market strategy, laying out what you needed to presenting it and then actually acquiring clients? How did you go about doing that?
Yeah, that's where I think a lot of my business classes came into play in regards to I would pick up projects early on in my business and really it was unrelated. So I would have someone say, hey, I heard you can help me start my business and I want to start a business and I'm helping this person start their business. And then someone else would need help with a business plan because I write content. A business plan is just content writing. Or someone would need help writing an RFP, a request for a proposal. And I would do that. So I started to categorize things, because there was stuff that I loved doing and stuff that I was like, it just came with what I was already doing. And that's how we got into content is me writing, just writing for you. And then what do I charge to write for you? If it's not a book, which I have my pricing for a book kind of laid out, if you're asking me to write a one pager for your RFP proposal, like what does that cost look like? What is my time worth? So I have to separate it in order to ideally make it worth taking on certain projects and not waste my time. So I took content writing as one. I had some people that knew exactly what they needed and wanted to do. They just wanted to hear from me that it was the right way to go or if there was another way to go. And that became the consulting piece. So I don't need to actually do it for you, but you want me to show you or give you a roadmap to it. I can consult with you. I can advise you through that. And this is what that will cost. In some cases, if I'm not creating the roadmap for you, I'm just giving you encouragement and direction and really removing the barriers in your mind, that becomes coaching. So it's just a matter of like, okay, you're just looking, you want to break through a barrier that's there. You don't really know why it's there. Not something that's physically there, but mentally there. That became the coaching piece. And then the classes really spun out of the pandemic. I had been a really hands-on person in your office, you know, hanging out with you all day to offices are closed. Nobody wants to hang out with me. Coffee shop is closed. What are you going to do now? And it had been presented to me before that I should put some things in a sellable guide. And I had the opportunity come up to partner with a platform called Thinkific, and it was for classes. So I started recording content, stuff that people ask me all the time. How do you do this? How do you get there? Which way does this project go? I started recording that content every single day, putting together guides and roadmaps that I had already, you know, had templates of, but really starting to hone in on one specific area or another and creating a platform for online classes, which really became the gist of my pandemic income because I couldn't actually get to a client if I wanted to for their safety and mine.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes a lot of sense. And that's something that's really interesting to hear how certain businesses have had to pivot, especially consulting companies and or organizations, LLCs, whatever you want to call it. It's so intriguing to hear that was the pivot that worked for you.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to take a little bit of a dive and talk about your coaching specifically, helping people get past these roadblocks in their mind and whether that be, you know, just the confidence to sign the paper, to apply, whatever that may be. And then also just becoming a coach, right? There's two prongs to that. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you became a coach? You know, how you're helping individuals, and then specifically how you bettered yourself as a coach.
Yeah. So I would say becoming one was, an evolution. I had been in management in the financial world long enough where I had quite a few employees, most of which are still in touch with me today. I was coaching them daily, if anything, especially through performance management, but really trying to break their barriers of why do you feel you can't achieve this goal or what's holding you back from getting that dream job or taking that career path that you want really bad. What makes you happy? Like, why aren't you happy every day? We had a lot of very candid conversations, and I would hear from them often, like, man, you should just coach people. That's really what you're good at. You're okay manager, but you should really coach people. I'm like, what does that mean? Am I not a great manager because I gave you good coaching? But it became like an ongoing joke. Like, they would come in from having a bad night or something. It's like, can I talk to you in the office? I need to talk to you. And it was really them picking my brain to get their own breakthroughs. And I learned how to really take that and apply it in the situations I'm in now with entrepreneurs and owners and people that are struggling in their careers, really helping myself to understand who they are to themselves and what's holding them back. A lot of it is, and I tell people this all the time, especially other coaches that I come in contact with, that there's a fine line between coaching and therapy. I am a psychologist by trade, and even I am not a therapist. A lot of coaches tend to cross that line, which is not a good thing. But at the same time, if you're toddling the line of therapist, you're really probably getting to the core of what's really bothering them. And you have to learn how to give them action items to address the things that are coming up in order to break the barriers, opposed to pushing further and further into that therapy side, because if you're not a licensed therapist, it's really not the area to take anyone mentally if you're not fully prepared to give them the support they need.
That makes a lot of sense, and I think you bring up so many topics that when it comes to coaching, it's comprehensive, mm-hmm. for lack of better terms. You know, you find that you're running into conversations where, I don't know, shoot, you're talking about the entrepreneur's dog all of a sudden because they run a dog business, and you find that you open up a can of worms. So really nice to hear that. Now, when it came to, like, coaching, so you naturally, innately, were kind of pushed toward that by not only mm-hmm. the people around you, but just by your natural skills and capabilities. Were you able to refine that somehow, or how do you make yourself better as a coach?
Yeah, so better comes with, I know I don't know everything. And even, like I said before, even I have a coach. So I do invest in coaching for myself. And a lot of that has to do with knowing where I begin and where a client begins and where I stop and where they begin. And how to really control in a conversation without putting my own twist on it or putting my own history on it or giving you my ending. It really does become having the ability to mentally and emotionally separate someone's situation that you're trying to solve for them or help them to solve from your own personal situations, because there's no coach that isn't going through things as well, or, you know, having doubts as well, or, you know, even having roadblocks that they can't get through. It does become a process where coaches need coaches as well. You just have to be very honest with yourself in what areas you need that coach. Utilize it accordingly and then apply what you've learned to who you're helping.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. And what are some of the things that you've learned as a coach outside of being able to clearly define those barriers? Like, anybody who might be interested in getting coaching, you know, what could they potentially find?
Yeah, so I would tell you this. In the last 2 years, I had no idea how many coaches.
I see where this is going.
There's millions of coaches out there. I have in my mind separated the quality of coaches. It's one thing to coach on something you know well. So if you came out of manufacturing and you're like really good at a manufacturing line and you want to go in and coach on how to do that, that is coaching on skill. If you want to coach in general on life, on career, on just general guidance through invisible barriers, that is a coach that needs to have some type of certification, classes, or training, because everyone's barrier is slightly different, and every barrier is not what it appears to be when speaking to a person, and you have to know what to look for. So I would say I continue to refine that even for myself by continuing to go to classes. I teach as well, which keeps me up to date with research. I also get involved with conferences and meeting other coaches with the same background. It's always useful to know what's happening and what's been found in the latest research in order to apply it to what you have going on. because as we evolve as people, situations evolve, the economy evolves, that changes things, and you have to know where you are and have some type of understanding of things.
I love that so much, and it's so important to understand quality versus, it's usually quality quantity, but this isn't even a quantity thing, this is just quality in general, right? I really love that differentiator of skill versus just a more broad spectrum and making sure people are certified. Last quick tidbit on the coaching, you know, do you have a place where people would generally go to find a decent coach in their area, or, you know, any specific searching outside of McCoy Consulting LLC?
So for me, I found my coach through the council, which is completely different because I don't think everybody has access to that. Another way is a lot of people come to me through different platforms like Thumbtack, which is interesting. And it's basically people raise their hand saying that they need coaching, and they have like all these coaches in the area to choose from, and they do their own due diligence of really figuring out who's the best fit for them. That was one of the first platforms that I used to gain my initial clientele.
Very interesting. That perfectly aligns us with some of the next topics, right? Talking about the classes and the consulting and just finding business in general, right? This is a hard topic. Many people don't necessarily come from sales backgrounds, understand how to generate and garner interest with white papers, with the right content, getting in the right rooms, right? Understanding what an ICP is, you know, so many different pieces come into that puzzle, in closing those deals, right? Making the contracts get put together, and driving everything forward. Can you tell us a little bit about being an entrepreneur and how you've learned to really drive business for yourself?
Yeah, so that was my probably worst area. I was not good at sales or marketing or anything like that. I spent a lot of money in that area to drive business, but I will say that I learned a lot as well. Driving business really comes from having a core story and people knowing who you are, especially when you're in an industry where you are offering services that don't have a physical product to it. If people aren't buying something that's coming in the mail, it's a harder sale. So you're really selling you. You're selling your story. You're selling who you are to people. And in most cases, they're finding similarities in that story, and you become the person that they want to speak to because you've made it out of whatever it is they're going through. And that is the basis of a lot of coaching. A lot of coaches and their clients relate on one platform or another. And it's usually in association with either where you're having a gap and or a barrier and or a misunderstanding. So if it's a matter of you being the best communicator out there and you can talk people into any job, the person that's looking for the next job will probably want to coach with you. So knowing your story, knowing your background, knowing what you're good at is really what's going to attract your client base.
I love that so much. Now I want to take a kind of a step back from everything. Really love your story. Love everything that you're doing with your business. And even just hearing little pieces about how you're hiring people to do the things that you don't necessarily love doing. And that's completely fine. It's almost reminiscent of the Tim Ferriss 4-hour work week. The last piece I want to talk about on your business specifically is day-to-day running it and that hiring. You know, how did you go about choosing who to fundamentally outsource your responsibilities to? Because your whole entire business and every single thing is your responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, how did you choose the people and where did you go for that? You know, what was your process?
Yeah. So the first part of that process was writing down everything that I didn't want to let go of. What did I really love doing? And what did I acquire over the time of starting my business that really wasn't a part of the execution that I wanted to do? And that, again, went into those categories of separation. Marketing wasn't my thing. I don't want to be out on social media every day creating content. How can I outsource that and still have control over it? And I started to look at resources of like social media, like who does this for you? Is there anyone that does it for you? I utilized early on anything that was pretty affordable, and I found a lot of that on like Upwork, things like that, because you could pretty much bid for what I was looking for. Throughout that, some of those people are still with me, but as I grew my company as well, I went to larger PR firms and larger firms that would give me a little bit more scale from a perspective of I could see all my social media posts for the next 3 months, approve everything, review everything in a day, and not worry about it every single day. That is a huge weight off of your shoulder when social media takes up 6 or 7 hours of your day trying to figure me and designing a post. No go. It does not this does not work. I can't get the words right. I can't get it straight. Whatever. So it became a huge lift because I didn't have to focus on that anymore. And, you know, content and things that I didn't really care for writing, I outsourced that to people that were looking for writing jobs, which you can find just about anywhere from Indeed to Craigslist. People are looking for jobs, and you can give them test samples to write and things of that nature to really understand what you're dealing with, who you're dealing with, and just how, you know, we're speaking now, you definitely set up calls. But once I found people that had a similar style, similar understanding to what I needed, those were the people that went on my roster for people I would call for projects that I was not specifically interested in doing myself.
I love that so much. You created a pipeline of talent for yourself, which is absolutely genius. And, you know, I think the final pieces that I want to talk about is being a business owner. Specifically, you're a Black female. You are the unicorn in the business world, right? So many people classically see, when you think of a business owner, you think of your JP Morgan banker, as you kind of mentioned earlier. You're really groundbreaking in that sense and going through some of the barriers to the point in which you were actually voted on to the Forbes Coaches Council. You're an official member since 2020, and you've really developed yourself and gotten so many certifications. Could you tell us just a little bit about what it's like to be, one, a woman in the business space, in the coaching space, and two, you know, just being a business owner and a Black female, and what that's been like for you, and what you could impart on other, you know, Black founders?
One, it's been a roller coaster ride. That's your first answer for number one. It's been a roller coaster ride. It is not, I'm not going to say it's great fun, and it is not easy. I've had a lot of ups and downs. I've had a lot of no's. I've had a lot of yeses. Eventually, you get to a point where you have to know what you want, and you have to want that so much that how other people see your outcome doesn't matter to you. And once you get to that point, you'll hear more yeses, because they're going to know that, like, I might say no to her and then end up running into her later. So I'm just going to say yes and see what happens. It's not easy up front or right away, because there is an expectation for you to fail. If you look at how many Black women in particular, we open businesses at a faster rate than any other race in the country. We are also failing the most. So it is scary, because you don't know what stack you're going to be in. But you cannot be afraid of failure when you're a business owner of any race. If you're afraid of failure, business ownership isn't for you. It's really a matter of, are you willing to risk everything to have your dream? And is your dream your business? If you're willing to risk everything to have your dream, then your dream will happen. And that's just how it works. Whether it happens to the capacity of which you would like for it to happen, that may take some time, but living that dream and being your own boss and working for what you want, you can do that. There is no one that can stop you from doing that. only what you are willing to put in is what will come out of it. So if people discourage you and you decide to take that discouragement to heart and walk away from it, that is where you can really start to weigh out the business owners that are going to survive and the ones that aren't going to survive. Like, I just can't take everything to heart anymore.
I love that so much. And the final piece, just talking about being Black, where can other Black entrepreneurs or individuals who have an interest in business, what resources have you stumbled upon that they can potentially leverage or pull into their resource toolkit?
Yeah, I feel like I'm a member of everything. If there is a membership out here that's needed, call me because I'm a member of everything. I would say my main things right now is girlboss.com, which is like a bunch of bosses, a bunch of women that are bosses that really connect with each other. Great engagement. A great opportunity for conversation, really pushing yourself to the top. Mogul, MOGUL.com. Mogul is another great platform for everyone in regards to really understanding what it means to be a business owner, what it means to engage with people at a senior level. And the Forbes Coaches Council, which you mentioned before. Forbes Coaches Council, even though it's exclusive and invite only, it is coaches that you cannot really get to everywhere. And the advice and questions and conversation and opportunities that come out of that council is wonderful, especially for someone like me. And if you're looking to get into something like that, that's not impossible either. All you have to do is start your business and keep chugging at it, and eventually you could just apply. Because I believe you got to be in business 3 years, but otherwise you can definitely get on track of that as well.
I love that so much. I'm going to have to add one of those to my 20, 30 years. Get on Forbes something. I love that so much. Yeah. Fantastic. Amira, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We covered so many things. I would actually love to dabble into two last pieces, and then we'll round out this podcast. Where do you see the future of your industry?
Ooh, the future of my industry. I could tell you this industry, consulting and coaching, is not going away. Classes online is not going away. I think it would even, at this point, probably be growing substantially based on where the pandemic has cornered us. I do think that for me, I want to be one of the big companies of that future, comparable to some of these larger consulting firms where you get the same level of service and response for what we do in this Black-owned.
I love that so much. And then final question, you're not a robot, you're a human. This is something we've clearly seen throughout this conversation. You have emotion, you get tired. How do you get some R&R? How do you reset? How do you relax and remove yourself from work?
It's been harder lately because I am a travel person and you cannot travel right now. You could, but where would you go, really? Normally, it is a nice vacation for me in some warm city with a beach, and I kind of shut down that way. In this environment, it has been massages, literally. Once the hotels opened back up and they were giving out massages, I probably hit up 4 or 5 hotels in a month trying to get on their calendars. That time on the table and falling asleep and really just kind of letting go of everything because you can't answer a phone while you're laying face down has been... You can't look at your computer screen. You can't answer a phone. You have to lay on the table. That is probably my relief as a brainer.
I love that so much. And honestly, I think I'm going to have to go schedule a massage right now after this call. Amira, thank you so much for coming on this podcast. You've been absolutely fantastic. We've covered an absolute amazing wealth of topics, from just being a business owner to your favorite books that you're gifting to so much more. Really see an amazing future for you. If people want to reach out, get in contact with you, or know what you're doing, where can they find you, and what are you up to?
www.mccoyconsultingusa.com is my website. You can also follow me on social media at McCoy Consulting LLC, both on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Of course, Amira McCoy, PhD on LinkedIn, or McCoy Consulting on LinkedIn. Those are all places to keep up with us. I would say most importantly, keep up with our blog, because that is where a lot of our information in regards to what we're focused on, the issues we're focused on, the events we're focused on. We do try to put a blog out once a week. And if you can't find me there, you can always find me on Forbes.com.
I love that so much. And is there anything that you'd like to share with the listeners today?
It's been an interesting journey during the pandemic. I will say that lately with all of the clients that I've been coaching, I've seen a lot of people just having a lot of fatigue from being at home, and just stay encouraged that open a window. it won't last forever, but at least you know that that house or apartment that you're paying for, you are getting all of your money's worth right now by being at home as much as you're at home. And that is what I think about every single day when I am sitting in my office.
Alrighty, listeners, that's all we have for today's podcast. I'm Alec Taylor, the founder of Diverse VC. If you guys need diversity consulting, you know anybody that needs it, or you guys want to learn more, help out, join the team, whatever that may be, check us out at diversevc.com. Please share this, check us out, follow us on Instagram, and we hope to see you soon. Bye, guys.